This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. 9 Pentecost _ Sun _ CE. This entry is a test incorporating the texts with the citations, full, I hope, to readers, and particularly valuable to podcast listeners. Podcast download. Week of 9 Pentecost C Sunday 9 Pentecost C First Posted Podcast, Sunday 9 Pentecost C Genesis 18:1-10a-10b-14. The Lord Visits Abraham, Psalm 15 Admission to God's Temple, Colossians 1:21-28 Christian Maturity, Luke 10:38-42 Mary and Martha Genesis Paraphrase, The Lord Appeared to Abraham, Abram, at the oaks of Mamre, near Hebron, as Abraham sat at the door of his tent during the noon siesta. Abraham opened his eyes and there were three men standing before him. He ran to them and welcomed them and offered them the opportunity to wash their feet and rest and have a simple meal of bread, and they accepted his offer. So Abraham told Sarah to make 3 cakes of meal, and he went and selected a calf which he prepared and gave to his visitors. With curds and milk, he stood by under the tree as his visitors ate. The visitors asked for Sarah by name, and told Abraham that they would return the next year and that Sarah would have delivered a son, in fulfillment of God's promise, Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Both Sarah and Abraham were beyond the age of childbearing. Sarah was listening at the door of the tent, and she laughed to herself, and the visitors asked Abraham why Sarah had laughed. Was anything too difficult for the Lord to do? The visitors assured Abraham that, when they returned in the spring, that Sarah would have given birth to a son. Psalm Paraphrase, those who want to gain admission to the temple of the Lord on the holy Mount Zion must be blameless in God's judgment, doing what is right according to God's word, and speaking what is true. They must not slander or do evil, they must not reproach a neighbor. They must despise a reprobate but honor those who fear God. When they make a commitment, they must fulfill it, even if it is to their disadvantage. They must not loan money at usurious interest, and must not accept bribes against the innocent. Those who conform to this standard will never be undone. Colossians Paraphrase, we, who once were hostile to the gospel, and did what was evil according to God's word, have now been reconciled through the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, so that we might be presented blameless and irreproachable before the Lord in his day of judgment, provided that we do not deviate from the gospel which we have heard from born-again disciples like Paul, who is the prototype and example of all modern, post-resurrection, born-again John 3:3-5-8, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, disciples, students, and apostles, messengers, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul rejoiced in his suffering for the gospel on our behalf, and he believed that he was finishing any suffering lacking in Christ's own ministry on behalf of his church. Paul received a divine commission to be a minister of the gospel, to make the message known and to reveal the mystery of God's plan for creation, which had been concealed from us for generations, but now revealed to his saints, those committed to serving God. He has revealed his plan so that his saints can know the riches of his glory among the Gentiles, non-Jews, and his inheritance which we have in Jesus Christ, the hope of dwelling in God's glory. So we proclaim Christ to everyone we encounter, warning and teaching everyone in all divine wisdom, so that they might be spiritually mature at the day of judgment. Paul devoted his entire life to this, following his midlife conversion, and so as I Luke paraphrase, Jesus came to Bethany and entered the home of Mary and Martha and their brother, Lazarus. Mary and Martha were well known in Bethany and in Jerusalem, a couple miles away. Martha began to prepare an elaborate meal, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. Martha became upset because her sister wasn't helping her, and asked Jesus to rebuke Mary, but Jesus said that only one thing was necessary, only a simple meal of bread was necessary to satisfy the obligation of hospitality according to Middle Eastern custom at the time. Mary had chosen what was more important, to listen and learn from Jesus' teaching. Jesus was not going to take that from Mary. Commentary: Abraham was only obligated to offer the visitors bread, but he went well beyond, offering beef, curds and milk as well. His visitors gave him news that he was desperately seeking. God had promised to give him a son who would establish the nation. Abraham had waited a long time for that fulfillment. Abraham and Sarah had even tried to help the fulfillment of God's promise through Hagar, Sarah's servant, Genesis 16:1-2. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Genesis 21:9-10. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Three men appeared to Abraham, and at least one was the Lord. Who were the other two? I hold the controversial view that they were the Trinity, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. God has been progressively revealing himself, first through the goodness of creation, and then through the Bible, beginning with his call to Abraham, see Genesis 12:1-3, above. I believe that God chose to appear as three men to begin to reveal his triune nature. God was declaring his word of the fulfillment of his promise of a son for Abraham, and Sarah had laughed. God was revealing his word ahead of time, so that when it was fulfilled they would know that it had been God's word. God's word is always true. The test of God's word is its fulfillment, Deuteronomy 18:21-22, and if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. God wants us to know and believe his word, so that we will trust and obey it. We must be blameless in God's judgment. But we are unable to keep all God's word all the time. Under the Old Covenant, Testament, of Law, animal sacrifices had to be made constantly for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus initiated the new covenant of grace, to be received by faith, trust and obedience, in Jesus, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus became the one and only sacrifice acceptable to God, once for all time and all people who trust and obey Jesus. All our sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, shed on the cross. Jesus is the Word of God, fulfilled, embodied and exemplified, John 1:1-3:14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus' word is the word of God, John 14:10-24, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works, with the creative force of God's word, Mark 4:39-41, and he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Compare Genesis 1, 9, and God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Jesus' blood, shed on the cross, makes it possible for us to be cleansed and receive the anointing, baptism, of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives John 1:31-34, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record that this is the Son of God, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus. John 14:15-17, If ye love me, keep my commandments. 16 And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life. To Corinthians 1:22, Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, Ephesians 1:12-14, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Romans 8:9-11, 15-16, Now if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. By the indwelling Holy Spirit we are freed from the old covenant of God's law given to Moses, provided that we live in trust and obedience to the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ within us. See above, Romans 8:9b. Paul is the example of what every Christian can and should be. He was discipled by a born-again disciple. See above, John 3:3-5-8, Acts 9:10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Until Paul was born again, and then Paul began proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and making born again disciples and teaching them to repeat the process. Acts 9:19b-20. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, to Timothy 1:6-7, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the pouting of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind, to Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. Also, he was an ordained, licensed, by church headquarters in Jerusalem. Paul was already formally educated in the Old Testament scriptures. Once he knew the gospel, following his conversion, most of the rest of the New Testament is by or about Paul. Notice the parallel between the generous meal Abraham set before his Lord, and the meal Martha was trying to provide for Jesus. In his case Abraham was not distracted or bothered by the preparation, and he came and stood by while the Lord ate. He listened to the Lord's message. In Martha's case, she was being anxious and distracted by what was not really necessary, and she wanted to take Mary away from listening to the Lord. It is easy for us to get caught up in busyness, even within the church, with church activities and programs. It is of first importance for us to read and trust and obey Jesus' teachings in the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Then we must be discipled by born-again disciples and the rest of the New Testament within the church, the New Jerusalem. Luke 24 minutes and 49 seconds, and, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:4-5, and, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judah, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, until we receive the anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, before going into the world with the gospel. We need to read the Old Testament as well. There are numerous Bible in 1 year reading plans. See free Bible study tools. Sidebar, right? Our discipleship is just beginning when we are born again. Christ himself disciples us through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we must learn to discern his voice and learn to trust and obey him. Jesus' original disciples were with him practically night and day for 3.5 years, and still weren't ready to go into the world until they had been received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We cannot to do it in less time. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-14, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ephesians 1:13-14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.